Welcome into the Aughts and Audibles podcast. I'm Eric Scopel, and today we continue to bring on members of the Oregon football staff with recently promoted edge coach Cameron Araghi. Cam, congrats on the new role, and I'm excited to see what you get done here.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Eric, for having me, too.
Yeah. We're going to jump in here a little bit on your background. We'll talk a little bit about this year's group and some thoughts there, and just kind of big picture, new defense, new leadership, including yourself, obviously Coach Hampton getting promoted, too, just some pick your brain on some of those things. But let's start with your background. I know when you spoke with media back in April, you kind of outlined some of your unconventional path to becoming a football coach. But what was your drive throughout that, right? And maybe you can kind of, explain to our listeners a little bit about your path here, but also like kind of what kept you going and what does it mean to get to this point in your career?
Yeah, I've always had a love for sports since I was young. I was always a football, basketball guy. And I always really loved the impact that the coaches, even from youth ball all the way up to high school, had on me. Particularly, probably the biggest person that stands out for me is Mike Brown. He was one of my high school coaches. He comes from a family of football coaches who also coach collegially. His brother, Greg Brown, has been a long time college DB coach. And he attacked everything each and every day with a mindset of wanting his players to be the best version of themselves on and off the field. And I really felt important to me and helped me grow into the man and coach I am today now. And I got the opportunity when I first coached high school football for 2 years at my alma mater at Notre Dame Prep. And he was the guy I was working with, and he taught me a lot. And he showed me what it means to grind and to make sure you dot all your I's and cross your T's for the program to make sure the guys are ready to go, be prepared to go make plays. So the impact they had on me was a big driving force for me. Throughout the journey, it was always just knowing for myself, it was always ingrained in me from my mom and dad that, you know, if you live life the right way, just knowing right from wrong and working hard, you're ultimately going to get what you want, and being a process-driven individual. And I think that just kudos to my family and kind of how they achieved everything they've achieved in their lives as well. And watching my dad go to work every day from 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. and seeing him grind, kind of taught me to never be scared of the work.
And I'm curious on, I know you, and you mentioned this a little bit in your interview in the past, but just the relationship with Coach Tuioti and his family, was he the one that maybe pushed you towards working with edge players? I'm curious on the background there. Because I looking at you physically, I'm not sure if you played edge in high school or not, but
no, kind of
path to this specific position group.
For sure. So I was an offensive guy coaching when I was coaching high school football.
Okay.
And I got to Nebraska. I really didn't ask many questions, to be honest. They told me, hey, you got a spot within the program. And I said, I'll do whatever. So I started off as a student manager. And the first day I got there, they're like, hey, you're going to be working with defensive line. And I was like, whoa, defensive line. And to be quite honest, that was probably the spot I had the least amount of knowledge and experience about. I was like, this is going to be really different. And I got a lot to learn. And it's funny, I still have my first day notebook that I sat in Coach Tioti's first, winter ball, spring ball meeting. And I have all my notes and everything I've written out in it. And we've joked about it because it's literally in my bedroom at my house. So I just knew that I had to kind of take that next step and be ready to be a sponge and learn everything I can from him. And, you know, I've just gotten really blessed to have him in my life for as long as I've had him already. And I can't wait for all the future years to continue to have this relationship with him and his family.
Can you share what some of the things in that notebook might have been? Like, were they things that are still kind of integral to your process today, or kind of what were you writing down on that first practice?
Yeah, I mean, everything from where a three technique's eyes are supposed to be and attack react, or versus a two eye and react attack, where his eyes are supposed to be, alignments. I mean, just football 101, day one stuff. I was learning it with all the freshmen. So just anything and just some of Coach T's culture that he always has and has continued to carry on here. We talk about playing like a duck each and every day and staying above the line and all the characteristics that it takes to be above the line and be a representation of what a duck is. So it's been really cool to kind of and now be able to embody that culture in our room, not just because it's what Coach T does, it's truly what I believe in.
Yeah, you know, I think for listeners, they may not be familiar, but you've been kind of leading this outside linebacker edge room for a couple of years now. You've had some experience here. What things have actually changed? Because I think when we asked you this back in spring, you maybe were half a dozen practices in. Maybe you now have with a little bit more insight, some time passed, can maybe answer it more fully. Like what actually has changed for you? Does it feel any different from what you've been doing previously, working with the same group?
I think the biggest thing I would say that is different is the recruiting element of being able to go on the road and going and visiting the prospective student athletes in their school and their homes when it's the appropriate time. From a work standpoint, not having Tosh here has just been different. You know, it's somebody who I leaned on, but I have so many people to lean on with this building, you know, starting with Coach Lanning from the top, being a front driven guy. So having Coach TOT and then the addition of Rip Rowan has been fantastic for our organization. Just a new perspective, you know, Coach T and I, myself, have been working together a long time, and Coach Tosh was here from day one with us. So we had been really working together for the past four seasons as a front staff. And when you add somebody like Rip and his knowledge, it kind of gives you a new perspective on things and makes us look at it and go, is this a better way of being able to teach whatever it might be? So we've definitely implemented some of the stuff that he's brought into the table, and he's kind of gotten some stuff from us as well. So it's been a really good relationship with Coach Rip. And obviously my relationship with Coach T and Coach Lanning has been the best. It's always the best. It's been awesome from day one.
With Coach Hampton taking over, obviously someone you're very familiar with, does it feel like there's much of a philosophical change, or is this defense going to kind of embody what you've been a part of now for the last 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, it has. The main structure of this defense is going to be what it has been. I think Coach Hampton is going to put his own flavor on it and spin on it as well. And I think it's to be determined exactly what our identity is going to be on defense. And we're going to continue to figure that out through fall camp. I think what we've done as a staff that's been really, really good since we've gotten here, and it starts with Coach Lanning being so open to always adapting. If we're not always growing, not just players, but coaches, and trying to play to our personnel each and every year. So even from year one to year four, when you watch our film, it looks very, very different. And that's because we have different players. You know, year one, we were here, we had guys like Brandon Dorlis, Jordan Riley, Casey Rogers, Noah Sewell. We had some different strengths, and we had Christian Gonzalez, right? Mm-hmm. Up till this past season, our defense looks a little bit different. Our recruiting classes have kind of been implemented into the program, and we're kind of putting our own flavor on it each and every year.
I guess one point of curiosity I have here, and it kind of ties in with something I was looking at earlier this week. ESPN's Bill Conley wrote his ifs list. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but it's like, what do these programs need to achieve to win a national championship? And one of the, he had three things for Oregon, and one was creating more havoc defensively, more negative plays. Has that been something that has been a focus of this offseason? And I guess for you in your room, like if it has, kind of what does that look like in terms of implementing, I guess, more aggressive defense or whatever it looks like?
Yeah. So when we talk about havoc, we're talking about TFLs, sacks, batted balls. So for us, it goes back down to the ball. The ball is every forced fumbles, interceptions. The ball is everything. The ball is oxygen. So we're trying to get after the ball as much as humanly possible. And, you know, watching our tape from last season over and over and over, you see how effective guys like Mateo, Tatum, Nazir were rushing the quarterback. Yeah. But at times we just didn't finish. So these pressures need to turn into sacks, which is going to, in return, get our havoc percentage up, which is what we're looking to do. So we got to finish plays. And we've been very, very deliberate about that and intentional with all of our drills this offseason on making finish one of the main elements of each and every drill.
How do you feel like the buy-in has been from this group? Obviously some veterans, which I want to talk specifically about Mateo and Tatum in a moment here, but just collectively, do you feel like there's a sense of like, hey, they understand what took place last year maybe is not quite up to the standard of where they need to be in 26?
Oh, it's great. They're just so awesome. They're fantastic when it comes to understanding that, hey, the standard wasn't met and we got to take it to the next level. And at the end of the day, in this game, you can never be comfortable. Even when the standard's met, now the standard's got to be taken to the next step. So we're always looking to be the best version of us, and we want to grow each and every day. So it doesn't matter what we did yesterday. It doesn't matter what we do today. It's all about the next play, the next day, the next practice, next game. So I think the buy-in from that standpoint is fantastic. Our guys are egoless. They want to be the best versions of themselves. So they're always looking, they're their biggest own critics, to be quite honest with you.
I want to ask you about something that took place pretty recently, which was, it looks like you and the defensive line went up to the Oregon coast, got some drills in on the sand. I always love watching the videos and seeing the photos from that. Can you, because you've been around for a minute here, and I don't know if I've ever heard the origin of the idea. Do you remember where the idea to take people up, you know, take the group to the coast was? Kind of came from, and kind of what do you guys get from that experience collectively?
Yeah, so this is our third trip to the coast. This is the first year we implemented the whole OLB and D line group. So the past 2 years we have been doing it. It kind of started with, you know, myself, Mateo, Tatum, some guys that were here previously in the past, just talking about wanting to continue to build the connection in the room. And to be quite honest with you, I kind of presented this idea. And that was a time where guys like BT Jordan, Mateo's uncle, Coach Yona, shout out to them. Some of the best in the pass rush game were putting out all these cool videos of guys working out and their off-season regimen. So we kind of wanted to do our own little Oregon pass rush summit. So we decided to go to the Oregon coast. You know, we live in a beautiful state. We are so blessed to have so many different areas that we can go train in. So we thought, why not go do it on the coast and enjoy the beach and have a great barbecue on the sand and have a bonfire and make s'mores. And I don't know if everyone was completely bought in the first year prior to doing it. And it's funny because a lot of the guys after the first year were like, Coach, that was fun. When could we go do it again? So we did it last year. And then this year we got the whole D-line and OLB involved, and it was a blast. We had so much fun. The guys had a great time. We got blessed with some beautiful weather and we got some good work in, but it wasn't all about the work. It's about the connection. And we talked about some things. We talked about the growth that we want to have this season and some sacrifices that we all need to make to go reach our goals, whether that's coaches or players. Everyone's got to put something in that lockbox to make a sacrifice to go achieve our goals. So we had a blast. It was a lot of fun.
You mentioned maybe people being skeptical of it initially, but it sounds like the whole D-line bought in, because like you said, this was the first year, right, that they joined. What was the process of like, okay, we're going to have to – the number is now 25 people or whatever it was, yeah, opposed to half that the year before.
Yeah, it was a lot of work, to be quite honest with you. It was a lot of planning. I felt like we have an unbelievable operations staff with Matt Noyer and Cody Look, and I shot them a text afterwards because I can't imagine having to – book travel for 150, 200 people like they do.
Yeah.
It was a lot of work just to get this 25 person weekend trip done. So it was a lot more work, but we got it done, and it was all worth it when you see the guys there smiling, having a good time with one another. And we get back to Austin and they had a big smile and talking about some, when can we do this again? Those are the moments that makes everything worth it as a coach.
We're now going to shift to kind of talking about some of the individual players, because I'm sure this is kind of catnip for the listeners who just kind of, they want football to be here. We're recording this on July 23rd. We're almost about 6 weeks from the first game's kickoff. Very exciting times. But I wanted to start kind of with Mateo and Tatum as a tandem here. I think maybe it's unfair, but that's how they get talked about a lot. And they came in the same class. They played together, been starters the last couple of years. And I think a lot of times with players who are this established, it can feel like they've reached the finish line in terms of development. I'm sure that's not the case, but yeah. What have been kind of some of the goals you have for them, and what have you seen from them this offseason in terms of kind of reaching those or striving for them?
Yeah, I think with starting with Mateo, you really see how much he's taken his body composition seriously this offseason. And Mateo's always been somebody who does everything really, really well, doesn't cut corners, but he took another step this year. And you see the maturity really show up with his diet and how his body composition, like I said. This is the best version of Mateo since he's been to Oregon. This is the biggest, fastest, strongest version of him, and he looks great. I don't know if you saw his little beach workout video he posted as well, but it makes me smile every time I watch it because he's ready. And it's just kudos to him, his family of kind of, you know, not just, you know, his mom and dad, DJ as well, kind of pouring into him and being a great resource for him as to kind of keeping him on track to go be the best version of him. And I am so beyond proud of that guy. And I'm so ready to see the success that he's going to have, because all he does is work hard and live the right way. When you talk about Mateo, you can't find a single person in this building that's going to say something negative about him. He's great to everybody, from all the way from the top to Coach Lanning to all the way to the bottom. Just a respectful young man who wants to do right and help people. So it's been really cool. Tatum is another guy who's taken his body composition very seriously this offseason, and also taking another step and being way more vocal off the field and helping the young guys. You know, when I make an adjustment for me being on the road in May, usually these guys are used to me being here in May. And Tatum really took that next step of being that vocal leader and getting all the young guys in the room coached up. And I'm beyond ready for both those guys to go out and play ball. I love those two so much, not just because they're elite players, but just because they're elite humans. I know I can trust them with anything and everything, and I know that's going to get done the right way.
I want to ask a follow-up just in terms of what was your reaction back in January, where I know you're eyeing the opportunity to be in this position as a position coach, and then you learn these two guys who could have gone day one, day two in the NFL draft have elected to come back and kind of spearhead that thing. What was your kind of reaction, and kind of how did that maybe carry the offseason, just having those two back, obviously both Bear and Amari in the middle, but just all these guys coming back and returning? What did that mean for you in the moment there?
Yeah, in the moment, I really didn't know what to expect from their decision, to be honest. I helped them kind of go through and make a pros and cons list for them. And I told them, it doesn't matter what I want. It doesn't matter necessarily what their family wants, what their agent wants. It's they got to be at peace with the decision. And we kind of went through the pros and cons, and they took a picture of it, and they went home, and they both called me pretty much back to back. And they told me they were coming back, and however, which way it went, I was going to support them. I support those guys no matter what. And when they said, let's run it back, I said, let's do it. But my biggest piece is, if we're going to do this, how are we going to make this different? And they've accepted that challenge, and they've made it different. And it's, God willing, the results are going to show.
There's a lot of edge players that I want to talk about. So I figured we kind of do this rapid fire where I just throw out a name and you can kind of give me whatever thoughts you have based upon the offseason or just where they're at. And I wanted to start with Elijah Rushing, who I know I saw on social media. He said he's up to 290 pounds, I think he said, which kind of blew my mind to read. But yeah, just maybe start there, but just kind of also the progress from him and as somebody now entering year three of just kind of where you think he's at and ready to take a jump.
Yeah, Elijah from day one, since he stepped on campus, has been somebody who works his butt off and doesn't leave no corner, doesn't cut any corners. I mean, Mateo and Tatum will tell you, even as a freshman, he was preparing each and every week, even while being on scout team, like he was starting, because that was the mindset that he always has had, that that's where he wants to be. And I am beyond proud of his development and how hard he's worked. I mean, he came in probably about 235, 240 pounds, and he's just blown up into a creature. And for Elijah, it's time to put it all together. We've seen some flashes of it all the time, to be quite honest with you, where he flashes and you're like, gosh, there it is. There's that guy. There he goes. And now it's just getting to consistency and finishing plays. We're in a production-based business. And there's been moments where he's been, you know, our production leader coming out of a scrimmage. And we need that to translate to game day and for it to be consistent. But I'm very excited for the year that's coming ahead for him. And everything's right in front of him. All of his goals are right there for him to go achieve them.
What about Nasir Wyatt in year two?
Yeah, Nasir Wyatt in year two is a completely different person from year one. Somebody coming in, you know, had never really been involved in a scheme that really had to do his job and to some of the things that we ask our edge players to do here. And the growth that he's had, not just physically, but mentally, I would say is the biggest piece of how he carries himself each and every day, how he handles a mistake from one play to the next, and just knowing his job and being a vocal leader now on the field, trying to help get the front organized and ready to roll. I'm really, really excited for his year as well. He's another guy that's really blown up, and he's going to be at the playing weight to where he can hold his own and hopefully do more than just hold his own, to say the least.
How about Blue Dancer? That was something that really stood out to me in the spring game in terms of just how much, I guess, he impacted the game. It's not somebody I was overly familiar with. Where's he kind of at, and what have you seen from him maybe since the spring?
Yeah, Blue's been a guy that obviously hasn't been here too long, but I think if you asked him, his growth has been really, really cool to watch because he's gotten so much better. Blue's somebody that gives us some position versatility with being able to play in space and also being able to put his hand in the ground and play some D-end. For Blue, it's just going to be a matter of consistency as well, kind of continuously learning the scheme and limiting the mental errors. But Blue's got is a guy that has some ability that can really help us, and it's going to be on him to be consistent throughout camp.
How about Anthony Tank Jones? And I'm wondering if are we just going to – how are we differentiating between the two Joneses, considering they're the same first and last name? They kind of play similar.
I say Tank Jones. I call Anthony Tank Jones as Tank Jones, and I call Anthony – I call him Ant.
Okay.
So that's how I differentiate him. When we're around in the building, Tank is awesome, man. Tank is blown up. Tank is huge. You're going to see a lot of position versatility with Tank playing some big end and playing inside as well. You're probably going to be even leaning a little bit more inside at times. But he is freaking awesome. That guy's a sponge. He cares. He does a really good job of transferring power to his hands and being violent at the point of attack. The sky's the limit for that young man. He's going to be special. I'm really, really excited to be a part of his journey and to watch him go achieve what he wants to achieve. So I'm really, really happy he's a Duck and the future's bright for him.
We talked about how much rushing Elijah, how much weight he gained. Do you have a sense of where Tank's at in terms of the progress from when he stepped on campus to now? Is it pretty astronomical?
Yeah it is. Without getting into too many details with his numbers, he's blown up. He looks really good. His progress has been really, really tremendous. And it's a kudos to our strength staff, starting with Coach Love and Coach Drew Jordan, and even with this speed with Coach Bolton. I think they're the best in the country. They do an amazing job, and they have our guys ready to go play football.
I got two more for you. A couple of true freshmen that just got here. How about Dutch Horsk?
Dutch is my guy. that guy is relentless. He will not take no for an answer in a positive way. He wants it all, and he's going to go get it all. And that's the type of mindset he plays with. And Dutch is a guy that we talked about in the spring. I don't know what he was ranked. I don't know any of that. I just know he was not as high as some of these other guys that we recruit. It didn't matter. Our evaluation on Dutch is this guy's a football player with a apex predator mindset. Like, he's going to go get it and do anything he can do to find a way to get on the field. And I love guys like that. When you ask me about what we're looking for in recruiting, it starts with the mindset. And do you fit within our program? You know, when you talk about buy-in, like, I don't want any guys that are going to be questioning anything. When you come sign up to come play outside linebacker, defensive end at the University of Oregon, there's a standard that has to be met. And it's going to be very crystal clear. It's going to be black and white. And we demand excellence here. That's because we want to be the best group in the country, ultimately.
And then the last one, Prince Tavazon. What are you seeing from him? I know he was, I think, arrived a little bit later than some of the other guys, but what's the progress been?
Yeah, he got here in April, and he's a specimen. He's very freaky. He's strong. You know, he's only 17 years old because he's a reclass.
Right.
And he's going to be a great player for us. He's going to have to continue to go through the growing pains of going from high school football to college football. So he's going to have some development ahead of him. But you see the flashes of Prince, of the power, the speed, the twitch. He's exciting.
Hey, Cam, I really appreciate your time here. And I know everybody listening is excited for football to start here. I think practice doesn't kick off more than a couple of weeks from now, which is kind of blowing my mind. But yeah, thank you so much for spending some time here and telling a little bit of your story and talking about your group and its offseason. I know listeners will appreciate this, and they're just jonesing for ball to start here in September. So thank you so much for joining us on the Odds and Audibles podcast. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you for having me.
Sunday, the NFL on CBS is back with an electrifying Week 1 doubleheader. I'll see you on Sunday. The early slate features Josh Allen and the Bills taking on C.J. Stroud and the Texans in Houston. Then, it's a classic NFC North battle as Jordan Love and the Packers visit the Vikings. That's a touchdown! It all kicks off at noon Eastern with the NFL Today, live in Minnesota. See you Sunday with the NFL on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.